Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
That you would be on another beautiful day here in Los Angeles, October 6th.
Indeed.
In the San Fernando Valley.
With a couple of beautiful guests in studio and one more waiting patiently on the line.
That's right. And one in our studio has kind of raised the bar of beauty in amongst us.
That's here. Nice of you to say. You know, I try to use a conditioner every day, and I moisturize when I... You weren't talking about me, were you?
I don't think so.
No, I see how it is. That's okay. You're talking about the beautiful Penny Fuller,
is that correct? I am, indeed.
No doubt about it. She is indeed a beauty and a great, great actress as well. Also joined by the amazing Mark Ginsberg today.
Yes, that's right. You know, but before we talk to our guests, Andrew, why don't we thank our sponsors?
Let's do it.
Okay. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Yes, we are indeed. And you know, just as you said, we've got a full dance card on today's show, Andrew. Mm-hmm. A good friend and former co-host of State of the Arts, Paul Strohle, joins us today from the Windy City of Chicago to talk to us about his latest theatrical endeavor, the return of one of Chicago's longest-running shows, Tony and Tina's Wedding.
That's right. And in studio, as we said, distinguished Tony Award nominee and Emmy Award winner Penny Fuller joins us to talk about starring in the upcoming one-woman comic musical, 13 Things About Ed Carpalotti, who I think this just sounds amazing. It's at the Santa Monica Broad Stage Theater, which is supposed to be a fantastic venue.
It's a beautiful venue. Yes, it's kind of on the intimate side. I think it's like 500 seats, mm-hmm. somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe a little bit lower than that. Okay. But a beautiful addition to the cultural landscape here in mm-hmm. Los Angeles. And last but certainly not least, regional musical theater star Mark Ginsberg is here to tell us what it's like to portray famous South American activist Che Guevara in Cabrillo Music Theater's revival of Evita.
That's right, guys. Let's give a big round of applause to both of them.
Absolutely.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. Oh, don't go too crazy now.
They're taking bows already in stage. I tell you, that audience loves these two guests today. Have you noticed, Michael?
Yeah, they read about it in social media this morning. So before we get to our guests, Andrew, how was your week?
Good week. It was a busy week. We were running around a lot. Of course, you know, this weather has been so much more pleasant this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like that. How about you? You saw a lot of theater.
I did go
week,
to a lot
friend.
Of theater. Yes, yeah. I did. Starting with, well, you and I, of course, saw The Fantastics, a beautiful production there
right.
at the Pasadena Playhouse, a totally renewed, revitalized production of it. And Tom Jones even came out for the opening, who was mm-hmm. the composer. So lovely to have him in our midst, though he was not there the evening we were there, but we certainly saw a grand show with our friend Connor Guzman starring as the young boy and Philip Anthony Rodriguez as El Gallo.
Absolutely.
And then I had the pleasure of seeing live on stage one of our guests from last week, Tyne Daly.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyne appeared in a concert version of Dear World at the Valley Performing Arts Center, and what an amazing evening this was. She was in rare form, I might add, singing to beat the band, and a beautiful, beautiful orchestra there, and of course, it's such a gorgeous theater, and some wonderful colleagues surrounding her in support, in the supporting roles, who are, regionally speaking, you know, some of our great stars, and that includes Brandi Burkhardt, Zachary Ford, Damon Kirsch, Jane Leaves, Vicki Lewis, Betts Malone, James Leo Ryan, Sean Smith, Michael Shepard, and Steven Weber, of course,
man.
Who we loved on Wings, the
right.
television series, and he's done so much theater out here. He's a lovely guy. It was a beautiful evening. People were, you know, this is a work that is not done very often. And it was certainly done with great aplomb and had a great reception with this particular audience, which was packed to the gills out at the Valley Performing Arts Center. Yeah. This is kind of their venture into musical theater now. They started with Dreamgirls earlier in the mm-hmm. year, and they're moving forward with musicals in their season coming up. So
tough to beat that space.
Yeah,
and
Man of La Mancha is coming up and all sorts of great stuff. So
amazing.
West Side Story, I believe, is also one of them, right? Yeah. So we're going to hang out there, Andrew, when those musicals come back. We'll have those lovely folks here on our radio show. Then I had an unusual pleasure, which was to go over to the Wallace Annenberg Theater in Beverly Hills and see Scorsese, American Crime Requiem.
Starring one of our favorites, John Lloyd Young.
Yes, John Lloyd Young, the Tony Award winner from Jersey Boys, and also supported with a beautiful cast of people. I must say, in short, and I will keep this short about this show, because it is something that is a spectacle. It is called For the Record, and then that title, Scorsese, American Crime Requiem, follows it. And it is a compilation of Scorsese films and the music from those films, all rolled into this one very interesting event. And it's very dark, it's very shocking, it's vulgar in the sense of, you know, the style of his pieces, the motion picture pieces. But it is a captivating story and technically an amazing thing to look at. The stage is multi-level, and it is a nightclub recreated in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And John Lloyd Young is the owner of the nightclub. And he plays a pretty tough character in this, very different from his image of being a Jersey boy.
He plays a famous character, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is so, and then he is actually playing Robert De Niro.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are his colleague, Carmen Cusack, is in the show as well. And she's a Tony nominee. And an amazing job. All of the talent on that stage just raised the roof on that theater. So it's a very exciting project, and it is there through the 16th, I believe, of October.
Great.
Yes, and so if you have a chance to get out and see that, so this is something very unusual, not typical musical theater, but certainly one that warrants your attention.
Mm.
Yeah.
Shall we bring in the amazing man waiting online for us here?
I think we should.
Let's do it, Michael.
All right. He is, where are we here? I've lost my page here.
Mr. Paul Strolley.
Yes.
We can get the show on the road here, and
there
we will bring him in.
Thank you.
Our first guest is not only sat across from the amazing Michael here for 6 years until I came in to desperately try to replace this fine man. He indeed sat and charmed audiences as a co-host for State of the Arts and has charmed audiences on theater stages nationwide on film and television. He has most recently appeared as a guest star for NBC's Chicago PD. He also starred in the critically acclaimed short The Beating, which is a really fantastic piece that you can find on his website. And on stage, he headlined for 1,000-plus performances in his one-man hit show, Straight Up with a Twist.
But he's here today to talk about his current endeavor as director of the Midwest's revival of the hilarious interactive smash hit Tony and Tina's Wedding, which is packing them in at Chicago's Resurrection Church and Vinnie Black's Coliseum. Let's say hello to our friend Paul Strolley.
Hello!
Yeah. Don't call it a comeback because he never went anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Paul, I gotta tell you, man,
so it's Mike. It's Michael Sterling and the bastard who took my job.
I just last month, I finally figured out how to lower this chair and raise it, so now I can see over the table after your big 6'2" frame left, my friend. So it's good to have you on the show today. Tell me about Tony and Tina's Wedding and what you're doing with this amazing piece.
It's good to be on the show. It's good to be on the show. It's nice to be. I missed the microphone, I'll be honest with you. It's been a long time. We've been interviewing a lot out here, but I do miss being on the other side of the microphone, as it were. Tony and Tina's. This is a sort of a resurrection. It's kind of ironic that it'd be at the Resurrection Church and then at Chicago Theater Works on Belmont Avenue here in Chicago. But I did the production, the first Chicago production in the early 90s, and that production ran for 16 years and played to over a million people here in Chicago. So we... They invited me back to direct this one, and it's just beyond any of our expectations so far. We've had about a dozen reviews, and everyone has been a love letter, and we're so grateful and we're so blessed. And it really is. People are really embracing the fact that we've sort of gone back to what made Tony and Tina such a success, and the original interactive theater piece, the immersive theater piece that started it all, because we start in a regular church and then you walk a block to the reception hall, and we've also sort of, in further nod to that New York production, we're doing it full retro style, so it's all 80s music and 80s bridesmaids dresses and whole lot of big hair and feathered bangs going on. But people are just
and that's just the director,
people are loving
right?
it. Sorry,
I say, and that's just the director, right?
That's just the director. Yes, exactly.
It's just his wardrobe.
That sounds amazing.
I still got my Aquanet. I'm using it.
Well, now you guys run through what date there?
Right now, we're running through the end of December. We hope to make it an open-ended run, and it's sure looking that way. We've already got a number of sold-out shows on the dance card, as it were. Going into the holidays and all that, and it's just a blast. We're really just having a ball. I have as a director, you get those casts that you dream about, and these people are really just great proper actors. I think that where interactive theater has gone south in the past is when it becomes too broad and becomes like. In our case, it would be Italian Land at Disney World, and we don't want it to be that. We want it to be real, real genuine portrayals and real people, and that's what we're hearing from the reviewers, so we couldn't be happier.
Well, I'm preceded by some beautiful reviews from the New York Times and People Magazine, of course, when it was done in New York. And, Paul, now let me ask you something. Explain to our audience who's not familiar with the piece, what happens? I mean, it's interactive, you said. So there's an audience, obviously. I would assume that they are the guests at this wedding that takes place at the church.
Exactly. You're a guest at the wedding. You come to the wedding, and you're either on the bride's side or the groom's side, and it's just like, you sit in the church, and you come to the reception, you get seated, you get your champagne toast, you get your full meal and wedding cake, and just strap yourself in and hang on, because it's the wedding where everything that can go wrong, that will go wrong, can go wrong, whatever. But it's more than that. It's just not you really do get dropped in. One of the best compliments that we've gotten in this particular production is that no one really knows who's in the cast and who's just in the audience, because it's so immersive,
So does the audience actually, do any of them become sort of part of the cast?
The great thing about Tony and Tina is, and this is one thing I always like to mention, because a lot of people are a little shy about interactive theater because they feel like they're going to be victimized, or they feel like they're going to be pulled up and made to do something that they don't want to do. The great thing about Tony and Tina is that you're as involved as you want to be. And there are people that just enjoy sitting back and watching the whatever fly, but then there's other people that are up on that dance floor or standing on the stage shirtless during YMCA, and it's just,
now are we talking about you again, or what?
Much like State of the Arts here today, everybody up on the table and shirtless.
Remember how we used to have no pants day on
exactly. Well, I'm honoring that. I'm not wearing pants now.
That's way too much information.
I'm all about supporting you guys
and our Chicago listening audience. Audience booms now all of a sudden.
Tickets are flying.
Paul, am I correct in suggesting that the best way for people to go get tickets on this is www.tonylovestina.com? Is that the easiest way to do it?
Yes, it's tonylovestina.com. Just go there. Tickets are $75, but like I said, that includes the full meal. Interestingly enough, when they did this show in 1988, the tickets were $75 then, and they're still $75
now.
Oh,
that's a good deal, yeah.
but there's also, I think, for $10 more, for $85, there are VIP tickets, and those are the seats that are closer to the dance floor. If it were a boxing match, it would be ringside.
I like that. Very nice. Well, Paul, we're so glad you could join us today, man. I miss you personally, and I'm thrilled to hear your voice again.
We all miss you, Paul.
Well, I miss you both, and thank you so much for giving me this little bit of time to talk about the show, and thank you, too, to your in-studio guests for being so patient, and I'll look forward to listening to the rest of the broadcast right now.
Truly our pleasure, man. Talk to you soon, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Strolling. Man, what a joy to hear his voice again.
I know, right?
I miss that guy.
He's such
so
a lovely
much.
Guy.
So let's just say this again real quick.
Tony and Tina's wedding.
In Chicago, and it's, just a fantastic show. If you've never been to this kind of thing, it is the best kind of interactive theater.
It's
because
fun.
You leave feeling so good. You just leave like you feel like you've done something really fun that night. And you can go to www.tonylovestina.com. www.theartsfest.com, and tickets are right there available. So
absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to move on to our next guest, who is a six-time Emmy Award nominee who won her first Emmy for her role in the ABC TV version of The Elephant Man. She more recently appeared on Broadway in Horton's Foot, Dividing the Estate, and Neil Simon's The Dinner Party, which earned her a Tony Award nomination. She began her Broadway career starring in Barefoot in the Park, of course, that's by Neil Simon, and three Shakespeare in the Park productions, and including the musicals Cabaret, Rex, and Applause, which I had the pleasure of seeing her in, and for which she received a Tony nomination for the role of Eve Harrington.
Her body of work is extensive, and she was formative in Los Angeles City's theater's growth, having been a founding member of the Matrix Theater Company, Antias, and the original Mark Taper Repertory Company. She not only was a Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle Award winner for her work in Harold Pinter's Betrayal, but appeared at the Amundsen Theater in Ring Around the Moon, and again in her signature role as in The Elephant Man. We're going to talk to her today about her upcoming role, starring in the West Coast premiere of 13 Things About Ed Carpalotti.
Carpaletti. Oh,
Carpaletti. That's right. I said it right in the waiting room.
Lottie.
Oh, it is Lottie?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh,
I tell you, we need Paul on here for those Italian names.
You were right for a change. So,
you know, the one time I get it right. And ladies and gentlemen, this premiere of this amazing piece is opening, coming up here very, very soon at the Broad Stage. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the beautiful and oh so talented Penny Fuller.
Hello.
Penny, did you bring all those fans with you from New York?
My goodness. I did, yes. They actually walked.
They did? Oh,
yes,
gosh.
They started last June, and here they are.
But those who flew got here quicker, but man, are their arms tired.
That's right.
Ms. Fuller, did I really say that?
We had a chance to talk briefly before the show, and I, of course, didn't know anything about this show. What an amazing story this is on how this came to be. I assume it's a laugh riot. There's a lot of fun in this show from what you were describing, yes?
There is fun.
But there's also some very serious things,
there's
is that
very
correct?
Very serious. It's kind of got everything, I think. It's about something that I think a lot of women have suffered, which is when their husband has passed away, they find out lots of things about his financial things that are not so good, and she owes over $3 or $4 million.
My goodness. Mm.
And she had this incredible relationship with her husband. Mm-hmm. She can't balance the idea that she didn't know this. I mean, they had the marriage we all want. I didn't get that one. and so it's a really, but it's also, it's funny and it's a mystery. And then it's got some I think depth to it too.
Wow.
So I think it's a little bit of everything. I hope.
Well, it certainly sounds fabulous. And now, it's a comic musical, so you're singing.
I'm singing, and I'm talking.
Yes.
And I'm also have a pianist in my head who happens to be in my living room. and he and I talk. But when I first talk to him, he doesn't answer, and I say it again. And he says, "Are you talking to me?"
And I say, "Are you talking to me?"
Yeah, yeah. And he says, "Because I'm not really here." You see, because he's in my mind. So most of this takes place as this woman is talking out loud to herself, trying to figure out what has gone on in her life that has caused this situation.
And that's, of course, through music and the book and so forth.
Songs,
would you say it's an actual musical, or is it, as we said, a comic, as the press release says, a comic musical?
Well, I think it's a musical.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe comic sells more tickets. I don't know.
Well, and this show is a West Coast premiere, is that correct?
Yes, it
and
is.
And it sold out amazingly well in New York. And did you say somewhere else as well?
Yes, we played it at Merrimack Repertory, which is in Massachusetts,
amazing.
In Lowell, Massachusetts, which is a wonderful place that we New Yorkers like to go. When we're going, I did Albee's A Delicate Balance there. It's a really wonderful theater. theater community, and so it's a good place to go take things.
Wow. And speaking of wonderful theater communities, you were obviously such an important part of the Los Angeles burgeoning theater company so many years ago. So many of these amazing companies that now are doing top-notch, stellar work. What was it like to be involved in LA theater during those years at that time when everything was so wide open?
Well, it was fabulous because we were, of course, all here to do television and make some money. But then we were all yearning for our roots, as my Midwestern mother would say, roots. And so we formed these theater companies, and we got to do classics. And like The Matrix started with George M. Cohen's play, The Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did Chekhov's The Seagull. And the thing that was so interesting about that theater company is that we had two casts. And they were not like the understudy cast, which is not to put down understudies, but they were two casts of equal, whatever you call it,
clout,
yeah, yes. Sure. And then after we each opened, Joe Stern, our brilliant, brilliant producer, shuffled the thing, and you'd get to the theater and not know who was going to play. So talk about playing in the moment and reality. It was fabulous. And then Antaeus did the same thing. Antaeus was a classical theater company. Mm-hmm. And then Gordon Davidson, bless him.
God bless him, yes.
Started a Los Angeles Mark Taper Forum Repertory Theater, where we did, the first year we did a play called Chekhov in Yalta, which was about Chekhov in Yalta. And the second play was Twelfth Night, and it was, as it happened, the Moscow Art Theater from Chekhov in Yalta was playing, were rehearsing Twelfth Night, so they were the characters. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Have I made sense?
Yes.
No, okay.
Absolutely.
So that was great fun. So, yes, I think I probably did wonderful theater here. And Betrayal is another play. And I think I did something else at the Taper, but I can't think what. But my point is that the other good thing is that we got to do so many plays because they didn't run for a year. You weren't having to keep one performance alive for a year, which is another advantage of doing theater here in Los Angeles.
Of course.
And you know, we thank people like yourself, Penny, for, you know, forging musical theater here in Los Angeles all those many, many years ago. And it's still here. It's doing better than ever, of course. And we have so much more theater than we've ever had.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
I can't even believe it.
It
I
is
come
amazing.
Back and I can't believe this town.
Yeah. Yeah. And on all levels, on the professional level at the big houses, and our Equity Waiver theaters are,
yes,
you know, holding up and doing some spectacular work. And our regional theaters as well, like Cabrillo Music Theater out in Thousand Oaks, and 3D Theatricals down in Orange County, and Kathy Rigby and her husband Tom McCoy, they have their wares being shown at the La Mirada Center for the Performing Arts. And they do amazing
work.
Is
she still doing Peter Pan?
She is not.
Oh,
she is retired.
Oh, because I saw her about 2 years ago. My friend was the assistant conductor, and I sat in the orchestra and watched her fly above me. It was so exciting. And the thing is, she was brilliant as Peter.
Yes.
I mean, I thought it would be just because she was this wonderful gymnast.
Yes.
No, she was wonderful.
Yeah. I actually, and I didn't mention this at the top of the show, but Kathy just sang at my supper club. I have a supper club here, which is, I produce the best of Broadway performers in concert and nightclub artists dedicated to the Great American Songbook. And Kathy,
could we talk after the show?
Yes.
I happen to have a few things to talk to you about.
I would be delighted to talk to you.
Come to Los Angeles. We won't let you leave now.
Yeah. But she did appear on Sunday night for us, and she is such a sweet woman and so, so very talented. And, you know, she's just tiny.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen her certainly do Peter Pan, but, you know, she's been doing that role for 30 years.
Talk about young at heart, you know, a child forever. That is absolutely true.
Absolutely, yeah.
We are, of course, talking to the amazing.
She's going to come out and do one more tour of it. She's kind of giving that some thought. But
that's great.
Yeah.
We are, of course, talking to the amazing Penny Fuller today about her new show at the Broad Theater. Tickets are available, of course, very easily by going to thebroadstage.com, or you could even call, if you needed to, 310-434 314-334-3200. That's 310-434-3200. What an amazing time to get out to Santa Monica and see some amazing theater there.
Yeah.
And you're
going
to get a chance to see something very unusual, something
very different.
This show has a very unique concept. One of the things that I love that you said the most about was her struggle and how she deals with her personal relationship after losing her husband. That, to me, is something that hasn't been as explored. So many times we focus on up to the point of the death of a spouse.
And I think something that is perhaps more common, too, than we actually realize.
Yes.
I think
yes.
Very true. Very, very true.
And so, may I just say that this came from a play by Jeffrey Hatcher. So it was a play before I co-opted it and took Jeffrey Hatcher to lunch and said, can I have it and make a musical of it? And
who could say
yes.
No to you?
That's nice.
Now, is that the play that Mark, did you saw the play?
I did.
You did see that play.
I did. Years ago, I was living in New York, and I had a friend who was working in the box office or front of house, I can't remember, at MTC, and I would go to see things sporadically. He would say, there's a new show coming in. You want to come see it? See as much theater as you possibly can when you're young and starting. And I absolutely remember seeing it. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Three viewings. Buck Henry was in it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my
course.
Gosh.
Margaret Whitten?
Of course.
That sounds terrific. Well, again, we're talking about 13 Things about Ed Carpellotti at the Edie at the Broad Stage, as Andrew just said. Runs January 11th through the 29th. And it is a Tuesday through Friday at 8 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., and Sunday at 2 p.m. So we encourage you to make a point of seeing this. And the lovely Penny Fuller, because she is a legend in theater, and who wouldn't want to see a legend on stage?
That's exactly right.
Right?
And, of course, again, that website is www.thebroadstage, and that's spelled, ladies and gentlemen, that's spelled a little bit differently than it sounds. It's B-R-O-A-D, stage. Mm-hmm. So do be aware of that spelling.
And you know what? I want to point out that they have complimentary parking for their audiences there, which is a very important thing to say in the city of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to get out there and see it. And again, that box office number there is 310-434-3200. We'd encourage you to get out and see it.
Yep. And you know what we always say? What do we always say? Put down those remotes from your television set and go out and support the live arts, because we need that continuing financial support in every possible way that you can, whether it's on an equity waiver level or in a community theater level or the professional level. Everybody needs to be funded. So this is the best way to do that, folks.
And it's so great to get down there to Santa Monica right now. It's such a fun
town. Smell that ocean breeze coming
great
in.
Great food all around there.
Yeah.
Now, if they can't put down the TV remote, they could take it with them, technically.
Well, they could.
Right? Just put it in your pocket during the show is all we're asking. Right?
Yeah, if they're going to be anxiety-ridden for not having it,
I tell you, these days, that's very possible. Penny, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
It was my
pleasure. You're going to stay with us, though, for the rest of the show?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Penny Fuller. That was fun. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest makes his Cabrillo Music Theater debut at the Fred Kavli Theater in the bucket list role of Shay in Andrew Lloyd Webber's and Tim Rice's Tony Award-winning rock drama opera Evita, October 14th through the 23rd. A Philadelphia native and a New York transplant, his favorite roles include playing 18 different male characters in The Real Housewives of Toluca Lake, a show that we saw him in and he was fantastic, Aaron in First Date, Lord Farquaad in Shrek, Lawrence Jameson in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Quixote, and you played two roles in Man of La Mancha, didn't you?
Well, they're the same
person. The same role, of course.
The writer bringing his written character to life. So.
And then, of course, the epic role of Quixote, which is such an amazing musical theater role.
Sure,
he also played Leo Bloom in The Producers, Billy Bigelow in Carousel. He was in Les Mis and as Fagin in Cameron McIntosh's first national tour of Oliver. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the very talented Mark Ginsberg.
They love you here, man.
Thank you so much.
What a joy to have you back.
I'm thrilled to be back. Thank
I got to say, I almost didn't recognize you when you walked through the door.
Yeah.
You went from playing a psycho, ball-bouncing yoga Pilates instructor to Shay with the full beard.
Yes.
Man, I tell you. Talk about versatility, brother.
Thank you. Well, luckily, we're doing this in the fall and not the summer, or else this beard would be not so much fun.
And it's grown a lot since you and I had lunch not too long ago.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with that. So for better and for worse. So.
If I ever hit puberty, I'm going to grow one of those. One of those days, though.
We'll keep an eye out for it.
That's right. Yeah. You're working with one of our favorite companies, Cabrillo Music Theater, who we love so much here. And there is so much great theater going on. But this is, Cabrillo's done so many great musicals for families and children. Evita is a big thing for them to take on. And I think very much like what they did last season, it's got a great mix of epic drama in some of their shows, and Evita would certainly be one of those. This is one of the biggest musicals there is out there. Huge cast. Do you know how many people are in your cast?
Including the children, I believe there's 44.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah,
wow.
There's a lot of people on the stage.
Amazing.
And it's a short run.
It is.
Out there, which is usually the case with our regional theater. Yes. And how long is the rehearsal process?
The rehearsal process in total, I think, is 4 weeks. There are three of us who are in for about 2.5 weeks of that, the principal characters. But the cool thing is about this production is in Cabrillo's entire history, which has been sizable. They've been around for quite some time. They have never done Evita before.
That's odd, isn't it?
This is the first time. And the show has been around for 37 years now.
Wow.
And this is the first time they've ever done it. So it's really exciting and fantastic to be able to bring that to the Thousand Oaks audience.
And, of course, you are co-starring opposite one of our loveliest regional theater musical stars, Cassandra Murphy.
Yes, indeed. She is absolutely fabulous. I've worked with Cassie in Aladdin at Disneyland for a few years.
She was the original princess in that, and I understand that. And how long was it? 13 years down there?
It was 13 years. She was with it for 10. So 10 years. She stuck around for a while, and she was absolutely fabulous.
And they brought her back to do the closing performance.
Right. She did the very last performance, which I did as well. I was the head guard in that performance. It was such an honor to be able to do that. And I worked with her also in Les Mis. She was obviously a wonderful Fantine. I was the foreman who was getting all fresh and not so nice with her. So it's nice to be angry with her yet again in another performance. She is fabulous. If nothing else, come to see her completely tear the roof off the joint. It's amazing.
At least that first entrance, or not the first entrance, but that magnificent entrance that she makes in the show in the white dress up above and greeting the adoring citizens of Argentina.
Absolutely.
Now, there are obviously some amazing songs in this. Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, of course, comes to mind. And I think that's anytime you hear the name Argentina, the country's name, you automatically sing that in your head.
Everybody does it. It's amazing. We were out when I first met the lovely Miss Fuller in the lobby just a few minutes ago. We said that we were doing Evita, and she immediately started singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. So it happens all the time.
It's great in the world. That's exactly right. It's great. Right. Now, can you tell me a little bit about the song Shea sings? I mean, obviously, what Che is such an amazing character in that he is a storyteller as well as a central character in the story. What are some of the songs that people will hear him sing when they go to see it?
Oh, there's a lot of them. Well, the show starts off very Andrew Lloyd Webber-esque with his antagonist, ripping his face off at the very beginning of the show. It's one of them. It starts with "Oh, What a Circus," which is Che's kind of sardonic way of explaining how we're making a saint of this woman who maybe should not be as celebrated as she is, and is completely going crazy at everybody, saying you've got it all wrong. Let me tell you the real story. And then he slips into this narrator role, which is really very interesting because he explains to everybody, maybe she had fantastic ideas and her heart was in the right place, but maybe she could have gone about things a different way. And it's really interesting to see him play both ends of the court, to be, the storyteller, just to say how it happened, and then to step back to the side and give his opinions and his slightly biased thoughts about how she went about things. So
I think that's something that's very much underappreciated as far as how Evita came about. That idea of the narrator, the balladeer role, was taken essentially from Shakespeare, the fool role or the festy role and that sort of thing, and then adapted for this musical. And since then, it's been used so effectively in Assassins with the balladeer there. And it really does add a musical through line where there's no specific ballads that he sings, but he just gives this through line to the show. For me, it's always been one of the most impressive roles in musical theater.
It is. It's fantastic. And the fun part is, along with that, is obviously he's narrating, but then he is Shay. At certain points, he's just himself. And then there are other times, definitely a central character. And then there are other times in a song like Rainbow Tour where he's playing people from Spain and from France and from Italy, and he's going out and playing different members of the community that that Ava encountered in her life. So he's got a lot of responsibility in the show. It's been a big challenge and a lot of fun.
That's right. Absolutely.
And, you know, it's such a fabulous story. It really is. I mean, how her rise into that position and what happened. I mean, the country, you know, reacting to her like they did and the power that she brought with that.
It's,
and then all around the world on that tour. It was unbelievable.
It's incredible. And there are people, obviously, who, you know, were skeptical about how she ran things and how she rose to power. However, like I said, her heart was in the right place. She fought for the poor like nobody else ever had and maybe ever will again. There were 3 million people at her funeral.
Wow.
3 million. Her funeral went on for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So this lady was like nothing the world had ever seen before and a huge figure, not only, like you said, in Argentina, but in the entire world.
A hate to love her and love to hate her.
Exactly.
If nothing else, certainly influential.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Evita, now playing at the Fred Kavli Theater. And, of course, we're talking to the amazing Mark Ginsburg, who stars as Che in this. One of the things that you can look at is you can go to the Cabrillo website there at www.cabrillomusictheater.com. That's with an R-E.com. Or you can phone 1-800-745-3000 for tickets. This is just, I believe, a two-week run. Is that correct?
That's right. Friday through Sunday for 2 weeks. Yeah.
And that's a beautiful space. We love that theater.
It is. You know, that's the largest theater south of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. 1,700. 1,800?
I think 18.
And a well-laid-out space. And, of course, Cabrillo has done such a good job of making that their home. Our good friends over there, Cindy Murray and Raymond Mastrovita, all these amazing people.
Lovely people.
They're wonderful.
Yeah. You know, this show, when I was working on Broadway, not as a performer, but with my client Andy Gibb, who went into the title role of Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and replacing Bill Hutton, who originated that role, after we were into the swing of you know him doing the role, I would beeline over to the theater where Evita was playing just to see Patti LuPone's performance.
Why not? Absolutely.
And I must have done that, you know, 20, 30 times during our run.
Why
but
not?
I felt a little obsessed with it.
You could have stepped into one of the roles there, Michael. He's an understudy now.
Exactly. But it was, you know, being in, there's nothing like seeing theater in New York.
No.
I mean, regardless of what it is, good, bad, or indifferent, it's New York.
Yeah.
And that's, you have to take that into consideration. But I think you're going to do an amazing job because
you're
an amazing singer.
I appreciate it.
And I know what kind of work you do as an actor. I've seen a couple of the things that you've done, and I always appreciate seeing you, Mark. So
thank you.
I think Che plays, does he play maybe six roles, six different characters throughout the course of this play?
Give or take, yeah.
And that's an easy job for the man who just came off playing 18 characters at the Falcon Theater when we saw him. So this has to be like child's play to you a little bit.
I'll tell you, the greatest thing, it's fabulous. I love playing different parts. I love going in and out of different roles, but the great thing about this one is I wear one costume, which is so great.
Are any of them spandex? Because in the other show,
my lord,
I think that's how they sold tickets, man.
I hope that's not the only way they sold tickets. I hope that's not what they were riding on.
No, who wears spandex in this show?
In Real Housewives.
I thought you were talking about Evita.
No.
What?
That would be talk about an alternative costume.
That would be a choice.
No, this is interesting because Evita, I mean, it's such a positive form of storytelling. Yes. You get there's so many convoluted things that could happen, but it's so well structured that you walk away understanding the narrative on such a deep level, not only the historical narrative, but also the dramatic narrative that you
absolutely
get.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they pack a lot of information in there, a lot of historical events, and I don't know how they do it, but they pack a whole lot of stuff in there in a very short amount of time, and you still walk away being entertained, humming the music, and really getting an education, too, because they don't skimp.
Right.
There's a lot in there, and you remember it. It's definitely a memorable night of theater. And it was such a transformative medium back then, like you were saying with the narrator, but also, you know, with the rock opera itself. He started with Superstar, and then a few years later did this. But he really made this such a popular medium, and the music is fabulous. The orchestrations are amazing. It's, I believe, a 17-piece orchestra that really rocks out, and the company is fabulous. So, it's definitely, I think, paying a lot of homage to that medium.
Amazing.
Is this, do you know, Mark, is this the more recent version of this show?
It
is. That swang through Los Angeles about a year and a half ago?
It The thing that is there are a lot of orchestration changes. Uh-huh. So, and you know, a couple melodic things, but the show itself in structure is the same Evita that has been done since 1979. But you will hear a lot of different music and a couple, you know,
some new. I mean, everybody likes to put their stamp on these shows too. So Cabrillo usually does that.
It's a it's a different take on it. It's not fully the original and not fully the revival. What is new, like I said, are some of the musicality things and a couple, you know, little interspersed monologues and what have you.
And talking about Cabrillo Theater, you know, and talking about Peter Pan, they are doing Peter Pan in their new season as well. First time that they've ever done that. Which is a beautiful show.
That's right.
And so it's something we've got talked about so much theater today on the program,
you,
right?
Three great shows.
Absolutely.
So, and one of the things we love to do on the show is feature shows that have a full theater or entertainment experience. You go see a show, but you also there's great food nearby, which is obviously true at the Broad. And then obviously I think that's true in Thousand Oaks. Mastro's is right across.
That's right.
From there, you drive up Thousand Oaks Boulevard, you turn left there and park on right in their garage. Parking is easy and simple. There's CPK and... P.F. Chang's right across the way. People are doing a great job now in Los Angeles of giving you an entire evening of entertainment.
I think it's important. I think it has to be like that, really, to get people to go out and intertwine, you know, make it an evening. That's worth, you know, the price of admission, I think.
That's right. Of course, we've talked about so many shows today. This one, of course, that we're talking with Mark about is Evita at Cabrillo Music Theater. And that website, again, is www.cabrillomusictheater.com or call 800-745-3000.
And, of course, one more time, we're going to let you know about Penny Fuller being in 13 Things, about Ed Carpellotti, the Edie at the Broad stage in Santa Monica. And it opens, or it plays, January 11th through the 29th in our early part of 2017, coming up very soon, Tuesday through Friday at 8 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m., and 8 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. And for box office information, just simply go to... Where is their website here, Andrew? Do you see that?
You know, I don't see the website there on that press release there. Let me see if I can find it over here because the phone number.
Oh, you know what? Here we go. Patron Services, just call them. Well, here is the website right on the same page. The website is TheBroadStage, B-R-O-A-D, stage.com, and Patron Services at 310-434-3200, and that should do it.
What a great way to start the new year, to go down to the Broad and see this amazing performer.
Yes.
And I tell you, what a fun show it sounds like, too, with the musical, the comedy, but also a very different perspective on the human experience, which I'm very excited about seeing.
You know, I want to ask one quick question, Mark and Penny. Did you know, I ask this all the time, did you know when you were a child that this is what you wanted to do, Mark, in your life?
I'll tell you, it was always something that was really important in our lives. My parents always took us to theater. They had lots of vinyl, lots of tapes, eventually CDs, and we would listen to it on car trips and before going to sleep. And I did my first show when I was 13, and I kind of said, "This I think is what I want to do." It took me a couple more years to figure that out because I was still so young. And somewhere in my mid-teens, I said, yeah, this is definitely it, and there's nothing else I could imagine doing.
Really?
Yeah. Now, Mark, you're a new father as well, correct?
I am.
With a little boy. So how early are you going to take him to some of those amazing Cabrillo shows coming up as well?
As early as he lets us.
That's right.
He's a great kid so far. I don't think he'll cause any trouble, but as soon as he seems ready, he will definitely be going to the theater.
I remember when my wife was giving birth, there was the soundtrack that we had playing in the delivery room, and half of it was musical theater.
Yeah.
You know, and I just remember thinking, well, there goes my retirement.
Well, she's a great singer, your wife.
Of course she is, absolutely.
She is. And Penny, what about you? Did you know when you were young that this was it?
Yeah. I was basically 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. My girlfriend and I would play Caesar and Cleopatra. I'd have to be Caesar.
Oh, really?
But we had these lovely costumes, and then we had this black fringe off of an old Victorian lamp.
Oh, my.
And then the movie of Caesar and Cleopatra with Vivien Leigh. And then that was it. I knew. You were hooked. I was hooked.
That is wonderful, huh? And that's usually how it happens, seeing somebody that's bigger than life.
That's right.
Yeah.
We should, of course, also mention the amazing Tony and Tina's wedding, which is going on in Chicago. For any of our Chicago listeners, don't miss this show. It's a great opportunity to go out and get some dinner there in the theater while you watch a really amazing and fun show directed by our good friend Paul Strolley here, who's directing Tony and Tina's Wedding. And the address for that to go visit online to find tickets is www.tonylovestina.com. Indeed. And that is closely related to the original production that Paul was involved with. So we greatly encourage you to go get those tickets now.
I just want to add one more show out there that I'm involved with, and it's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, a regional revival of it here in Los Angeles. And the director is somebody that you might know, Penny, Mark Kudish.
Oh, really?
Yes, and this is his first time directing a pre-existing show.
He's a wonderful singer-actor.
Yes, he is. Wow. And he has done an amazing job with this show. He's given it a whole new facelift.
Wow, good
and
for
it
him.
Was a huge hit at our opening this past weekend. And it will continue at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center throughout this weekend. And then we move over to the Cerrito Center for the Performing Arts and reopen there. Mm. And he is not only making his debut as a first-time director with a show like this, but his wife, Shannon Lewis, who is a Broadway performer, mm-hmm. is the choreographer. And the two of them together have worked so closely and brought this very interesting and quite different look to this show. So audiences are loving it so far, though.
Of course, everything 3D Theatricals does is fantastic.
Yes, they do. Indeed, they do. Now it is that time.
Yeah.
And now,
breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
Embarrassing moments.
We do something on this show that we call embarrassing moments, where we ask our live performers to give us something that happened in their career, maybe in front of a live audience or a TV camera, that was mortifying, humiliating, and above all, embarrassing to the point where you felt like, this is the only thing that I can handle. This is the limit of what I can handle before I quit the industry and walk away. Have you ever had an experience like that, Mark? Does anything come to mind?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of them. But I go back. The one I always go back to was actually in college. I was doing a production of Anything Goes. I was in the ensemble, not a big featured thing. And right before DeLovely, you have, you know, Billy and Hope doing their thing on stage. And we thought it would be nice to have a couple of the passengers walk across just to have a little ambiance. And I was walking across the stage with the now Broadway star Carly Hughes, who was in Pippin in Chicago, and now she's going to be doing American Housewife on TV. And we were walking across, and we hear thunder, and we have to run up this huge spiral staircase, you know, to go to our rooms or whatever. And we hear it. We start going. I'm in full tuxedo. She's in gown. We get about halfway up. I trip over something and literally face first all the way back down.
Oh, my goodness.
As the scene's going on, luckily, chin is up. No injuries, but you just see this nice little scene going on. You just see me sliding all the way down. And then, of course, I had to get back up and go all the way back up again. So it was something I'll never, ever forget.
You didn't even know you did stunts, right?
No.
Was the audience with you, though?
Did
they even know?
Oh, they knew.
Well, I mean,
there was no way to
miss it. Were they laughing or were they?
I'm pretty sure they were terrified and completely entertained at the same time. But it wasn't the worst thing that could happen. But I'll never forget because, of course, those 10 seconds of that happening feels like 10 minutes.
Of course,
you're sliding there and there's nothing else you can do. I'll never forget
it. What did you? Yeah, when you got down to the bottom, did you get up and go back up?
You better believe it. I got up and I ran as fast as I could as Carly's standing there with her hands over her mouth, terrified. And laughing at the same time, and we ran as quickly as we could off stage. I'll never, ever forget it.
Ms. Fuller, do you have anything even remotely like that?
Why are you such sadists?
Relive your embarrassment here on State of the Arts.
Well, this is a little different, but I think you'll like this. I played Eve Harrington, as you said before, which is from the movie All About Eve, which is about a younger actress and an older actress. And in the movie, it was Bette Davis and Anne Baxter.
Of course.
And in the play, it was Lauren Bacall and me. Then Lauren Bacall left the show, and Anne Baxter came and took over the grown-up role.
Wow.
And now I'm playing opposite the original Eve. And it's all very exciting and wonderful. And my last matinee before I was leaving the show, I come on in the play, and I'm ushered into Miss Channing's dressing room, Aunt Baxter's dressing room, and I hear this jingling off stage. And I think, what the hell is that? And it's much louder than you're hearing now. And I don't know what it is. And finally, I look at the, there's a little thing that's supposed to be the bathroom, and I peek in there, and I see somebody in the shadows with these bracelets, jingling, jingling, jingling. And it's on my lines. And so I'm really upset. But finally, you come off the stage. It was Betty Davis.
Oh, my God.
Betty Davis. Ann Baxter wanted Betty Davis to see me and her in the play. And they couldn't get a ticket at the last minute. So Betty Davis was standing off stage. And the jingling was because she was always trying to look and see, get a better... But it was Betty Davis making all that noise. And I was about to go and say, what the heck? Oh, And fortunately, I later worked with her twice in two movies, TV movies, so it was really...
Did you ever talk to her about that night and what you heard?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. She laughed. She said, I'm so ashamed. It was awful of me. Awful. Yes.
Oh, Miss Fuller. Wow. That is an amazing, amazing story. My goodness.
Really? My gosh. Well, what a wonderful time we've had today on this program, right?
Great guest. Andrew? And amazing theater that we're talking about. We've given you four shows out there, certainly shows coming up soon, and then of course Miss Fuller's show that starts in early 2017. There is no reason not to get out and see some great theater over these next coming months.
Absolutely.
Here in Los Angeles.
Thank you so much, both of you, for being here.
Thank you. It was so much fun.
We appreciate it so
much. Even though it was humiliating to have to tell that.
One of our greatest stories of all time, and what a kick that must have been to see that face. I can't even imagine.
Oh, goodness. Yes. Michael, what a dump.
That's right. Yeah. Michael, it was great to see you again, and I'll look forward to seeing you some this week.
Right back at you, sir. And where would that be?
I'll see you on the radio.
You bet.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.